Okay, let's take it to the phone lines and bring in Primetime Eddie Croft. What's up, Mr. Primetime?
Pedro, how are you? I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm excellent. How's the family?
Everybody's good, you know. The kids are going crazy, fighting with each other, and, you know. Normal family life.
Now you know I have a problem with the Russians. Your Russian fighter's name. What's his name? Say it for me, so I don't have to blow it as far as the pronunciation is concerned. And then tell me what he's doing.
Evgeny Shevchenko. And right now he's in Russia. We're waiting to hear who is going to take the fight for the title eliminator. So, like, the guy pulled out that we were supposed to fight on the 17th of April, and then now they're going down the list, seeing if, you know, Danny Jacobs wants to fight, Caleb Truax wants to fight, or, you know, we're trying to find somebody that wants to fight. Go ahead.
Is he on a salary? I mean, is your fighter on a salary? Who is it from his manager? Or is it from that group over there in Europe? I mean, what's happening with it? Who pays him?
Yeah, the German promoter pays him 6,000 euros a month.
Okay. You know what? That's pretty good. Can he make – what's 6,000 euros? Is that about $8,000?
Like 7,500, 8,000, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess you could live a pretty good living on that. I mean, you could live a good life on that, couldn't you?
Yes, especially in, you know, Krasnoyarsk, Russia, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's doing pretty good.
You know, I always thought that Russian fighters were hungry, and I mean, were hungrier than the hungriest fighters in the world right now, but without a doubt, I thought one of the reasons why they were hungry was that back in the days, they almost had to wipe their butt with a rock. So when you have the choice of wiping your butt with a rock or toilet paper, and fighting's the one thing in between. Guess what? Fighting ain't so tough.
Yeah, it's not so. You know what? Like, things are like much different now, where the Russian fighters are able to go out and get promotional deals from other countries. Mm-hmm. They're living a much better life than when they were stuck in the Soviet Union and they had a choice of the rock or toilet paper. I agree with you.
Okay. Devin Haney last night on display went 12 rounds with Jorge Linares, got rocked a couple times. I wasn't overly impressed with the fact that he didn't react. I didn't think he reacted all that well to the punches. Anyway, bottom line is, what was your assessment of Devin Haney's performance last night with Mr. Linares?
I thought he looked very sharp early, and about like third, fourth, maybe fifth round. He was doing some stuff that I hadn't seen him do in fights. I'd seen him do it in the gym before. Mm-hmm. I've been in the gym with him maybe 3-4 times, and I thought he looked okay. I expected Linares to do about that because he's like really sharp one. So he can only fight in spurts, and if Haney left himself open, then he was gonna take those shots and you know what? I don't know, man. He came out of it okay. Haney did with those hard punches, but I mean, just think about it. If it was Teofimo Lopez that hit him, then that's a whole different story. So, and not only that, Teofimo would be able to do a lot earlier in the fight because he's young and fresh and fast and punches hard and I see definite. Definite issues and style, just stylistically a bad matchup for Haney and Teofimo.
I asked Hector Martinez this, and he had some crazy BS type of answer, but I want to ask you this. Why is it when old guys, they're the opponent, they're not supposed to win the fight. There comes a time in the fight where there's a glimmer of hope, where they have a chance to win the fight, and then they don't step on the gas. I thought Linares should have went for broke there. I mean, and he didn't go for broke the two times I thought that he rattled Mr. Haney.
Well, you know what? I mean, like, part of it is, like I said, he's sharp one. It's hard for him to let it go and just let punches fly, He can only do one or two. And not only that, every time he punched, he was getting hit too. So, he had to be real selective on when he let his hands go and especially early in the fight, right? Like later in the fight, you just have no choice. I got to go. I got to try to knock him out. But early in the fight, you know, he was getting caught with stuff, and he didn't want, you know, I mean, like Haney hurt him a couple times, so you know, he said, hey, you want, I'm gonna sit back and try to be a little cautious, but like really make the ones that I hit him with make them count.
Okay. Eddie Cross, our guest. Eddie, is Teofimo in a class by himself at 135?
I believe so. I definitely think that that Tank and Teofimo are the top of the 135. I like, who knows if Tank's gonna come back down after he fights Mario. But you know, that's the fight that I wanna see is Teofimo Lopez and Tank. And that would be great. That'd be a good fight.
Okay. wow. Bit of a stunner last night. Nonito Donaire. What can I say other than fighter of the month?
Fighter of, man, come on, man. The guy is what, 38? Yeah, he's all the oldest guy to ever win a bantamweight title. And you know what? The thing was, before the fight, I was like, man, I think Nonito's going to stop this guy. I just felt like he, I don't know, something in the air last night. And man, he, you know. It just reminded you that the last thing to go is your punch, right? If you're a puncher, you'll carry that with you until you're later on in your career. It was a great thing to see, and I'm really happy for him and Rachel.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, I mean, the Filipino Flash from Newark, California, of course. I talked about him bursting that knockout of Victor Chinian, 7-7-0-7, July 7, 2007, knocking Victor Chinian to another time zone. Of course, that was 112 pounds. He's back to 118 pounds. I think the only mistake he made was going up in weight too much. I think he should have spent more time in 115 and 118. What do you think?
You know what? I think that junior feather or super bantam was an okay weight for him. Mm-hmm. You know what? I felt like, you know, during that time, like right before he fought Rigondeaux, that he just, you know, maybe was a little burned out and wasn't training the way he should have. Mm-hmm. I felt like he was running his own training camps, and that, you know, I remember before he fought Rigondeaux, he came down to my gym. He was there to watch somebody else spar. And, you know, the fight had just gotten announced. He goes, yeah, I'm fighting Rigondeaux next. And I said, yeah? And he goes, yeah, I opened up as a 3-1 favorite. And I said, oh, man. I was just thinking to myself, oh, man, you're already, like, counting your money. So I thought he was going to lose that fight because he was not focused. Could he have beat him? If he was focused, sure. I mean, look, he dropped him, right? Yeah. So, you know, if he was focused and, you know, had really, you know, felt like Rigondeaux was a threat to him, then, you know, I felt like the outcome could have been different. Who knows?
Okay. Eddie Cross, our guest. Josh Taylor and Jose Ramirez last week. Of course, Josh Taylor capturing undisputed world title holder, world title belts as far as 140 pounds was concerned. I was impressed with that. I was impressed with him. I thought he fought a good fight. And, of course, that's not the first time a guy from England seems to be prevailing. And, of course, the Marcus of Queensbury rules is where boxing started. It's sort of good that boxing – this oh, time back. I'm going all over the place here. But this is what happens when you invest in amateur boxing. The English have invested in amateur boxing, something the United States hasn't.
Well, you know, yeah, especially, you know, England, Ireland, Scotland. They put a lot of money into their amateur systems, and it's showing right now. And, you know, I mean, like here in the U.S., I got, you know, kids are, you know, trying to go pro as soon as they can. Sometimes 17, sometimes 16, some of them are going over to Mexico to turn pro. It's much different, you know, the whole amateur system here. Everybody's goal is to get to the Olympics or get enough experience and eyeballs on you to get signed to a promoter and then turn pro. Nothing, you know, there's not like a lot of, you know, I want to represent my country in the Olympics longer.
Speaking of the Olympics, Japan's going crazy with the COVID. Do you think there will be an Olympics?
Yeah.
You think so,
huh? I think there's too much money involved. There's too much money involved.
Why does it always come back to the buck?
Because stuff that is risky is only done if there's money involved. If there's no money involved, people aren't going to take that risk.
Good point. What can I say? Eddie just tells it like it is. That's why we get him on the show. Tell me about B Street Boxing in the gym. Where is it at on the web? All that kind of good stuff.
BStreetBoxing.com. And we're on 223 South B Street in San Mateo. And, you know, we've been there 12 years and looking to be there another 30.
Okay, so as far as boxing, we've got, you know, the pros and the amateurs working out there. Is there that, you got the blue collar thing going too?
White collar thing?
Yeah, white collar thing. White collar, blue collar?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would say, you know, of the 150 members or 120 members of the gym, and like, you know, 95 of them are just, you know, regular people working out and taking some boxing classes to stay in shape or get in shape or get in better shape, right?
Mm, yep.
And then the other, you know, the other 10% of the people are either pros or amateurs.
All right, last question.
Mostly amateurs.
Last question before I let you go. Should squares like that, should we let them spar and take shots to the chin?
Who?
I mean, the average square that walks in off the street, the white-collar guy, should he take a shot to the chin?
If they're in shape, I mean, they got, you know, look, if they put in the time to get in shape and train and learn the skill set, it's just like anybody else getting in the ring, right? If they put in the time, yes, why not?
Well, there's nothing quite like getting buzzed the first time, is there, Eddie?
No, you know what? And teaches you a lot about yourself. And, you know, some people say, no, that's not for me. And some people, you know, like me, like you, we turn around and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get better. I'm coming back to get you next time.
Prime time, Eddie Croft, BStreetBoxing.com. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it is correct.
BStreetBoxing.com, San Mateo, California. I'm going to come by in the next few days, I promise. I want to come by and see what the operation's like and things like that, because you've been there a long time. And I wish you the best, continued success with you and the family, and good health, Eddie. I wish you nothing but the best, my brother.
Come on, Pedro. Thank you, man.